Hello and welcome to Virago Voices podcast, podcast number 4. This podcast is all about women's empowerment. Today's podcast is entitled Marina. I know Marina through work and met her over a year ago. We had our first job together in the hospital and experienced the highs and lows of being a junior doctor thrown in at the deep end on your first months post-medical school. My friend Marina is one of the most devoted women I know. Her beautiful faith in Christianity is truly an inspiration. Her life reflects her learnings from scriptures that she studies, making her a compassionate and tolerant person. Her vibrant personality lights up any room, and her attentiveness makes her an incredible listener. Marina is the friend I go to when I just need to talk through a tricky situation. From Marina, I have learned tolerance. She has taught me to listen, appreciate different perspectives, and not allow my own preconceptions to cloud my interpretations of what people are saying. I hope you enjoy our conversation with the virago that is Marina. Hi Marina, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Good to see you. So we'll start in with the first question. Mm-hmm. What is your life goal?
Yeah, really good question. I was thinking about this earlier, and one of the things that it makes me think about is the difference between purpose and life goals, and whether they're the same thing, whether they're different, and I don't know what you think about that. Like, I find that your general life purpose can be quite different from the goals that you set yourself. And sometimes it's a bit dangerous to make your life goals your ultimate purpose. So I think probably I'd have different answers to that question. Is the question, is there a single life goal that I want? Or is it the question, what's your general purpose? Or
yeah, that's a really good distinction, actually. I think purpose is kind of your overall aim of your life.
Raise and then, a bit, kind of thing.
Yeah, but then your goals are almost your way to get there. So yeah, what's your purpose? Let's go there first.
What is my purpose? I think, well, it's
a massive question.
Yeah, to be honest, I've been thinking about it lots recently, particularly because of COVID. I think when you're stripped of all distraction and busyness, which we have so much of, it really makes you think about what is my purpose. I definitely think as well, Hugo, my boyfriend, is often finds it really funny that I should be a doctor in the middle of a pandemic and really struggle to see what my purpose is. I don't know whether you feel the same though, is that when your day in, day out is the same, it can get quite mundane. You can start to wonder what the purpose of it is, and particularly when you're faced with death quite a lot, I think you can struggle to see what the point is of it when it's just kind of happening over and over again. And when things are boring or easy, you can lose purpose because you're no longer have something to complain about.
Yeah, that's so true.
So I think I've been thinking about that and praying about it, and one of the things I found really helpful is being a Christian, believing that I've been created, helps me know that even though I may not know in any given moment what my purpose is, that somebody does, and someone created me with a purpose, and that's a bit of a relief actually, because then I don't have to be like, what is the meaning of my life? I can just say, there is one. He knows what it is, and he'll reveal it to me day to day.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get into my head that my purpose is to just try and receive each day with him. But whether I'm there yet is another question. But yeah, so I think that would probably be that's what I'd like to be my purpose.
Yeah.
I think,
as I mentioned in my intro, for Marina, your faith is a massive part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really lovely that it gives you that reassurance that someone, even when you're not that clear of what your purpose is, that there is a plan for you that must give you so much reassurance.
Mm. I think it's a relief because I know the person who's got that in hand. I think if I didn't believe him to be who I do believe him to be, I think it would probably be quite scary or frustrating or anger-inducing, but knowing who he is, or believing that he is who he is, it's really reassuring, yeah. But yeah, in terms of life goal...
Yeah, specific goals now.
One of my goals is to empower someone to make a really difficult decision, and for that to be a significant... have a significant impact on the world. And so if I was to think of that in the army, it would be to be able to counsel some brigadier and enable them to have the confidence, well, not that they need me to give them confidence, but enable them to make tough decisions because they had someone to talk to about it or process it with, or to show them that the easy decisions aren't always the best ones or whatever. To like, yeah, I think to make some hidden impact, hidden but significant impact through somebody else, probably.
So almost be a sounding board to people's queries and questions.
Mm. Yeah, and I think empowering people as well, I mean, that's a big, and enabling people. It's a big thing that my mum has taught me. And I don't think she gives herself enough credit for it. I think a lot of people see that empowering others as a bit of a second class talent.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they think of mothers as quite, oh, just a mum.
Mm.
But flipping hell, like they empower, you know, if you put your all into being a mother, you empower so many people to do amazing things, and that's certainly an experience I've had with my mum. And yeah, I wish she'd give herself a bit more credit for empowering myself and my sister to do what we've been able to do.
Yeah, and actually that comment of just being a mum is so great, because we're obviously all about women's empowerment, and being a mother is, oh my gosh, the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, you sacrifice your body to your children, and
yeah,
you commit yourself to at least 18 years of your life to this one thing that's grown inside you, like a little parasite. So yeah,
for love.
And do you think that anything makes that easier?
Empowering others.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great question. Well, as in, what makes it easier to empower other people, or what makes it easier to self-sacrifice?
Yeah, what makes it easier to self-sacrifice? Because almost empowering people is self-sacrifice, because you never really... We live in a world of instant gratification, and to empower someone to do something, you'll never get the credit for that. And that's quite difficult in the society that we live in.
Yeah. I think probably having someone self-sacrifice for you. I think my mum having sacrificed for me, you know, ultimately I think because of, you know, we were really fortunate and really privileged for her to be able to not have a job and to look after us. But ultimately it was actually completely necessary given the job that my dad did. And yeah, I think when knowing that she's done that for me, it makes it easier for me to see how powerful that can be. And yeah, and then I think it's the same with God, like knowing that Jesus has self-sacrificed for me, like keeping an eye on that reminds me that it's quite an amazing thing and it has an impact.
Yeah.
Even if it's not visible to other people.
Yeah. So almost just remembering kind of where you came from helps you to send other people in another direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's almost like karma though, in a sense, that you do good things and good things happen to you and then you do good things in return.
Different though when, if in order to enable somebody else to do something, you actually have to, like, there's a cost to it. So it might not feel very good to be doing that good thing. Yeah, you might be costing your, sacrificing your time, your energy, your body, your, I don't know, there is actually, it's harder to empower other people when it means the detriment to yourself.
Yeah. But then you hope that someone will do the same for you.
Yeah. And it's, but that's the thing about motherhood, isn't it? Is that you have no, That's not how it works.
Yeah.
You know, they're not gonna, I mean, you do care for your parents in their old age, and I don't think we do that enough as a society, but you hope that they will do that for you, but it's not the same. Your children don't feel the same way about you as you do about them. Ultimately.
So true.
I love my parents, but probably as much as they love me.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, I think parenthood is one of the ultimate sacrifices. Not the only, but a pretty powerful self-sacrifice of being able to love someone in a way and empower them in a way that is ultimately unrequited.
Mm-hmm.
But completely necessary.
Yeah.
Necessary for them, but costly to you.
Yeah. So in your kind of goal of being able to empower others, would you count motherhood as one of those goals?
Yeah, definitely, if I'm fortunate enough to have children. But in any way, I think, I don't know, empowering people from enabling them to tell their story, which is what you're doing, to listen to them, to encourage them, lots of things, lots of ways of empowering them. Investing in them when you have money and they don't.
Yeah.
There's so many ways in which you can do that. Yeah.
And do you have any kind of advice on how that women can empower other women?
Oh, that's just so what we should be doing more of, isn't
it? Yeah, I know. I think women are really bad at it as well.
Being on each other's side.
Yeah.
Being each other's fiercest defender and advocate rather than competition.
Yeah, and I think that's what we struggle with, and I think that's what the feminist movement struggles with as well.
I think in that as well is holding differences and enabling them both to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And I remember kind of having an analogy of that when I was at a women's kind of event for my church, and seeing it as like a diamond with, this is going to sound super lame, seeing it as a diamond with lots of facets, and that the one facet itself isn't as beautiful as them all together, and ultimately we're most beautiful when we're combined and different.
It's a lovely analogy.
And yeah, but how do we empower each other to do that? I don't know, what do you think?
I don't know. I think in our sphere of work, it's really important that we empower younger female members of the team to sit at the table. And as a medical student, I remember female consultants being like, oh, come here and come and sit in amongst the meeting rather than on the outskirts. And like, if you know, you're trying to make a point as a younger female member, that you know the consultant or someone higher up is like, oh, listen to this young woman, let her use her voice. I think that's very important. I don't know if you've had any of those experiences.
Definitely had lots of senior female mentors, really, who have made a real impact on me, and male ones as well. But there's something very special about that female-female mentoring relationship.
Sisterhood.
The sense of similarity in it is really powerful. And I wonder whether I do that enough to people that are younger than me, actually.
It's hard to, though.
Yeah.
And we work in
self-sacrifice, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally
sacrificing your time for their benefit.
Yeah, and we work in such a cutthroat kind of environment that it's quite hard to, you know, advocate for other people and self-sacrifice.
Yeah, I do remember this one time, though, when I was in a school high jump competition. And I must have been, like, 14 or something, and I, of course, made friends with one of my competitors and then, like, really encouraged her to make that final jump. And it was me and her in the final, and she did it and I didn't. And I kind of thought, oh, I shouldn't have encouraged her because then she beat me.
Yeah.
But actually, like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. I can take some credit for her, for her achievement. I think championing each other with words, how we speak about each other, what we assume about each other, not being afraid to push the other one forward ahead of ourselves. it's tough because, you know, it's already a competitive world out there. Yeah. And so it's hard to not fight for your own place in it.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think being satisfied with who you are and your place and you're deserving to be there enables you to fight for other people.
Yeah, particularly as women.
Mm.
We're already trying to kind of forge our way in this male-dominated world.
And, yeah, and empowering, allowing men to empower us as well. Mm. Yeah, empowering them to treat women well.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
By encouraging them when they do it right.
Yeah, well done.
Gently suggesting that, you know, this might be how we feel when they don't do that.
Yeah.
I think there's something so powerful in calling people out in a kind way.
Yeah.
It really, because when you do it kindly, all the guards come down and the arrow of truth really goes down deep into their heart.
Yeah.
And I certainly found that when people have done that to me, when they've gently corrected me, I found it much more impactful than if someone's tried to have an argument with me.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how good I am at it.
It's a skill though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but education is important as well.
Mm.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Discussion.
Yeah, discussion and generating and, you know, making a point and then being willing to talk about it rather than just shutting it down. And
yeah, yeah. Not demonising the person you're discussing with as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's good.
But on the topic of, you know, younger people, what would you tell your 16-year-old self?
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking about this. I think I would probably want to talk to my 15-year-old self,
okay,
not my 16-year-old self, because my 15-year-old self was a lot more emotional. Surprise, surprise, I'm pretty emotional already. Yeah, I think it was probably a point in my life where I felt quite distant from God and generally a bit in a bit of a mess about what the world was about and what I was about and all that. And I think I would probably say to myself what God, through somebody else, did actually say to me, which was essentially I went to this kind of youth Christian event thing and went up to the front for prayer. There's usually a stage in the middle and then they say, oh, you know, come to the stage if you want someone to pray for you, which lots of people often do. And so I went up and some random person I'd never met before prayed for me and literally just said every single thing that I had been thinking that week, which was really powerful. But the only thing I can actually remember that he said was that God was saying, trust me. And I think the thing I would say to myself as a 15-year-old is just that. It's like, just trust God, because, and particularly trust God with your friends. Because I think at that stage, I was very black and white about the world, very afraid of challenging my own frame of reference, very afraid of what would happen to my friends if they didn't agree with me. And so I think, and I did actually alienate quite a lot of my friends, and, you know, because I set pretty high standards for myself and for others around me, and I hadn't really had an opportunity or didn't have the maturity to recognise that I wasn't living up to them. That's the other thing about goals as well, is what do you do when you don't live up to them, I suppose. But anyway, yeah, that... yeah, to trust God with my friends, that he knows them better than I know them and he loves them more than I'll ever love them. And so it's up to him and it's up to them and it's not up to me. And I think I would have been a lot closer to some of my school friends if I had trusted him like that and not pushed them away by my own need for things to be a certain way, probably.
Okay. So you kind of... when they had different opinions, you mean, you kind of...
I was very forthright about what I thought was right and wrong. And I think as a response to that, they just didn't tell me stuff. And that was really hard to realise that, because I really loved them. And it was really upsetting to feel that they didn't feel loved by me because of that. And it's the kind of thing, you know, we're talking about women as well, is having the respect for each other enough to trust each other and to allow each other the freedom to explore the world. Just because you believe something is true for them, whether they agree with it or not, doesn't mean that they don't also have a right to discover that for themselves. And I think it's really important for people to know that they're loved regardless of what they think. How can we as women, I suppose, encourage each other that we're free to explore the world and learn about the world and share it with each other.
But actually I think you've come a long way, because I'd call you a very good listener to other people's opinions, and you're always the kind of one to correct us if we're, you know, going off about someone. You're like, no, just, you know, calm down and like think about it there from their perspective. So like how did you do that, how did you work that out?
I think by getting it wrong myself. I think you're always more merciful to people when you've received mercy. I think I just had to eat a bit of humble pie. I think that's made me a lot more merciful to people.
I think you're right, though. Mistakes are the best teacher.
Yeah. They really are.
Yeah.
I've spent so much of my life trying to avoid making mistakes.
Yeah, same.
Just so desperate not to make mistakes. And it's a real shame, because when you make mistakes and are forgiven and loved through them, that's really powerful.
Yeah.
To know that your identity isn't in being perfect.
Yeah. And to actually learn from what you've done wrong is such an amazing quality to have, because you can very much just sweep your mistakes under the rug and never really think about them.
Yeah, that is true. Have the ability to be honest.
Yeah.
Because also, everyone's made mistakes, so the more honest you are about your mistakes, the more accessible you are to people.
Yeah.
Because then they won't feel judged by their own.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows what they've got wrong, ultimately.
Yeah. And the more you talk about that, the more people then you can bond with.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So, 16-year-old Jay, last words to 15-year-old Jay.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like it.
Yeah.
And final question then, and my favourite question. What does being a woman mean to you?
Another excellent question, might I add. What does being a woman mean to me? Well, my headmistress at school had this bit of a mantra of, you can have it all. She was a mother of three, she ran a school, she had an international kind of conquest of feminism and investing in other girls' schools and etc. She's a pretty extraordinary woman.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. And, you know, she's the kind of person that, when I didn't get into med school the first time around, like, pulled me off the lacrosse pitch to talk me through what our plan was going to be, which, you know, I appreciate. I was really, really privileged to be in a position to have someone in leadership in my school that would do that for me. But I would alter her mantra for myself. I think instead of saying I can have it all, because ultimately I don't think you can all the time. There are always going to be sacrifices. There are always going to be costs. Ultimately, there are always going to be choices that you have to make, or that other people have to make for you, because of you. So I would say that I would want my mantra to be that in any given circumstance or situation, whether I'm being a doctor or being a mother or, being a friend, staying at home or being on the battlefield or whatever, I have something unique and beautiful to give. And I would really hope that other women would feel the same, that kind of sense of uniqueness that, yeah, I would love for people to know that they've been created as well, because it really does add to, it just means that you can't quite criticize yourself as much as you could otherwise, because ultimately it wasn't your decision to make yourself the way you were made. And you've been made with a purpose and you've been made uniquely and you always have something to give. So, yeah, that's probably what being a woman means to me. Multifaceted, multi-dimensional, multi-gifted, I don't know, just so many different aspects of being a woman. And I think the danger is as well, we were talking about this the other day, isn't it, about women being given binary choices, but you can either be this kind of woman or this kind of woman. You know, you have either this choice or that choice, rather than opening the playing field and saying that there's just so much more to it than that. And empowering women to be creative with what they can give in any given situation.
And it's also making women feel valued enough to have those decisions. I mean, making, for example, in our line of work, making women feel that they're valued as a doctor, to be able to say, well, you know, I want to work this hours on this day because I want to look after my children and the rest, rather than being like, oh, you know, I really need a bargain for my hours because I can be easily replaced by a man or by a woman that doesn't have children. I think that's really important.
Yeah, that's good.
But I love your description of a woman, the multifaceted, kind of multi-talented creatures that we are. I think that's really beautiful.
Go us.
I love it. And it's so important.
Yeah, not pin-downable.
No, that's so true. And we're so versatile.
And there's so much that can be brought out of each person in different situations. I mean, I've definitely found that with myself of... you know, not always pretty stuff in certain situations. You know, sometimes it's not great, actually, and I'm not that great a person, and particularly if I'm not in a particularly great place or whatever. But, yeah, the beauty of discovering what else, what other facet there might be to you. Enjoy life.
I think that comes round really nicely to your point about empowering people being your life goal, because to empower a woman means to pull out a little tiny facet of her that she never knew existed. I think that's the beauty,
and providing the scopes for them to be able to do that, not limiting them, but also, you know, respecting their choices as well, and saying, you know, defining, it's really difficult, isn't it, to define what the right and wrong answer is in it, because a lot of the time there isn't one. And there can be something beautiful, and they have something to give regardless of the choice that they make, and there's something beautiful in the choices and them having the empowerment to make those choices as well. Women are great.
We are. We're so amazing. I'm so excited for the future where women are even more empowered than we were, and to see what the kind of world becomes when we all grow and make our own choices.
I'd love to see the world. I think the world is shaped by women, but I'd love that to become a bit more of our conscious, within our consciousness, because, you know, I'd love to see the workplace shaped more by women.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'd love to see it be a required or desirable factor to want to stay at home in a job. I'd love to see people, you know, working more together in teams, and caring more about job satisfaction as well as profit being a part of it. And no, it's not characteristics that are exclusive to women, but I do think that there's something that women can bring that's pretty special.
I agree.
Yeah.
And also in this time with COVID, we've seen how easy it is to work from home and how much you don't need to be physically there.
Oh yeah, I definitely am for the thought that I don't really mind how it gets there as long as it gets there.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, if I was talking with some male colleagues the other day and saying about how... Well, was I doing? Can't remember. I was thinking the other day about, you know, if someone asked me as a man, Marina, what can I do for feminism? What would my answer be?
That's a good question.
I think my answer, particularly towards male doctors, male surgeons in particular, is want to spend time with your family more.
Yeah.
Because in my slightly cynical opinion, it's not going to change until the men change it.
Exactly.
But I don't really care as long as they change it. Because, you know, I would love for them to be more advocates for us than they are I think they are, but I would love to empower them to do that as well, to see their value in the cause, and how much they're desired and valued to be there and to fight for us. Like, there's something really special about a man fighting for a woman's cause. Like, Hugo and I will often tease each other that Hugo's more of a feminist than I am, and I'm like, that is exactly how it should be.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think the men that don't fight for feminism do it in a slight fear of, they don't really know that, they obviously haven't experienced it, so they don't really know what to say or what to do.
I think, you know, ignorance is always going to breed fear.
And
I think men need to be empowered as much as women do. Is that right? I don't know. Men need to be empowered that empowering women does not make them less manly.
Men
need to be encouraged that, fighting for women doesn't threaten their ability to be men. But it actually proves their ability to be men.
And again, it's self-sacrifice, as you talked about earlier. I know. And I think the feminist movement as a whole, I mean, I've been ridiculed before for saying that men should be involved in feminism, but
I think that's such a shame.
I know. I think they need to be.
The thing is that empowering them to do that is amazing.
We need them on our side.
We want them on our side. We want them to be our advocate and our defenders and, you know, our brothers. I love it when I get that, when I see those relationships like that in place, when you're really for somebody, you're really for their success, and the ability to see them fulfill that is just the best feeling, and I want to share that with them. I want them to feel that about us.
And do you have any ways that men listening to this podcast could empower women? It's a hard question.
It's just, the thing is that it's different in so many different scenarios.
I guess it's situation specific.
It really is, because, and I do feel for them, because I bet they feel like they're always getting it wrong regardless, you know, whatever situation that I'm in. And, you know, I don't blame them. We can be difficult to read from time to time. And we don't always think the same as them. So it's not easy. I think, you know, it's the same with anything. It's listening. It's encouraging. I think verbal encouragement is really powerful for women. There's a lot of slander. There's actually a lot of verbal abuse of women.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think being encouraging and uplifting, you know, getting that balance between not expecting any less of them, but also appreciating the challenges that might be in front of them that aren't in front of men.
Yeah.
Really difficult tension to get. And one I can completely imagine if they would find that really hard to be sat in. You know, it's difficult. I mean, ultimately, that's the situation you're in when you're a privileged person.
Yeah. And it's for any movement. Yeah. Any of the isms.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, what else? Seeking to understand, as difficult as it might be.
And there's so many resources out there to help you understand what it's like to be a woman.
And also self-sacrifice.
Yeah, which comes beautifully back to your first point.
Like, you know, just make the sacrifice of fear when you're asking somebody out, and do it nicely.
Yeah.
You know, make them feel valued. I think there's another whole, I mean, we could go off for like another half an hour about romantic relationships and how that changes the thing, you know, how that's different to the workplace, and you know, how to cope with that difference in kind of interaction between men and women. I mean, obviously there's the whole same-sex attraction thing, and that's another kettle of fish as well, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, it's not easy. I don't blame them. It's not easy, but I think being open to challenge, being eager to understand other people, where they're coming from, and fighting for somebody else regardless of the cost that it might cause to you, is just pretty powerful stuff, really. And recognizing that, well, obviously, in my opinion, recognizing that someone's done that for you.
Yeah.
But I know people don't believe in Jesus, but he's done that for you. You can do it for other people. Yeah. That's probably what I would say.
I love it. Thank you. And it comes perfectly round to your first goal and point. So it's a lovely way to wrap up the session. So thank you very much, Marina.
Thank you.
Lovely chatting to you. And yeah, hope everyone's enjoyed listening to the virago that is Marina.